Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER available in the U.S. For New York, 8778-HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY-467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic. Your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What's the scariest thing that you've seen but no one believes you? Story one, it was the night before my stepmom passed away after her battle with cancer. I was 22 and spent the night in bed with my 9-year-old half-brother, cuddling him and telling him his mom was going to be okay, that it wouldn't hurt anymore. It was about 3 a.m., and after a while, he suddenly sat upright in bed, smiled, and said, "I promise to be a good boy, Mommy. I love you." Now, my stepmom had been bedridden for the last month, so she wasn't moving anywhere. But I swear on my life, and my little brother agrees with me, that for a split second, I saw her standing in the doorway, wearing her big, giant fur coat, just smiling at us and looking relieved. My brother went to sleep about 2 minutes later. I left to go into my dad and stepmom's room to check on her and found my dad awake, telling me she had passed about half an hour earlier. I genuinely believe she stopped by on her way to the other side to check on her two kids and make sure we'd be okay before she left. Story two. I was walking through the Rockies and managed to tear the muscle on the side of my foot, so I was hobbling back. I was alone, which in hindsight was not the smartest idea. On my way back to Jasper, I saw a white bear, think they're called spirit bears, just sitting and watching me. I genuinely thought that this was it. I was going to get mauled by a bear, and no one would ever know where I was. But it just sat there and pawed the dirt in the direction of the town. I kept limping on, watching it closely, and it just continued to watch me. Then I swear, no more than 5 minutes later, a wolf appeared, limping on the same foot I had injured. It stared at me for a moment and then just continued on its way. I think the moral of the story is that I looked too pathetic to bother with. I was absolutely terrified either way. Story three. I was a missionary in South Africa. One of the creepiest things that ever happened to me took place on New Year's Eve. That night, I woke up feeling really thirsty. I walked to the kitchen to get some water, and as I was drinking, I turned around and saw the front door wide open. I could see the stars in the dark sky and hear the faint sound of crickets in the distance. Not thinking much of it, I closed the door and went back to bed. In the morning, my missionary companion woke up first and noticed the front door was wide open again. That's when we realized we had been robbed during the night. I still remember my heart sinking when I realized the intruders were probably in the house while I was in the kitchen in the middle of the night. It still gives me chills thinking about it. Story four, it's not that people don't believe me. It's more that I hardly believe it myself. It was late, probably between 1 and 3 a.m., and I was sitting at an intersection waiting for the light to turn green. Across from me was a dark road with trees on either side, thick woods off to the left, and houses to the right. So I'm sitting there listening to music when I see something move at the edge of the woods to the left. Now, this is rural New Jersey, so things moving in the woods are either bears or deer. They're not scary, but deer can seriously damage your car if they run in front of you. I turned my high beams on to see what it was, but they didn't reach the woods. Then I saw more movement before the light turned green. I made my left turn and drove off, but I couldn't tell what it was. The next day, I drove the same route on my way to work, and when I got to that intersection, there were police and an ambulance over at the edge of the woods where I had seen the movement the night before. I asked a coworker what had happened, and he said they had found dismembered body parts there early that morning. Story 5. I know I'm late, so this will probably get buried. My friend's grandma's house was right up against the cemetery. He always told me it was haunted and that he would see strange things there, but I never believed him. One night we were over at her house and I swear I saw something the size of a toddler run from the living room, through the dining room, and into the kitchen. When I looked at my friend, he just said, "Did you just see that kid run through the house?" It looked more like a fast-moving shadow than an actual person. There was no one there. There were no kids around. It was his grandma's house, and we were the only ones there. It was late at night, and no doors opened or closed. When we told his grandma, she was just like, "Oh, don't worry about it. It happens all the time." After that, I started believing in ghosts. My friend also said, when he used to sleep there, he would turn the spare room's TV away from him so it faced the other way, because he would wake up at night and see people in the reflection staring at him while he slept. It scared him so badly. Story 6. It was over 10 years ago now when a friend and I visited Japan. It was our first time there, so we went with a tour company. After the tour ended, we stayed an extra night in a hotel in East Ikebukuro. During the tour, the guide told us stories about haunted hotels and other urban myths. Stuff you talk about over beers or late at night in the onsen. One of the things he warned us about was to be wary of rooms where the head of the bed was positioned right next to the window. So if you look up while lying in bed, you'd be looking straight out. He said in those rooms, ghosts would come through the window at night and drag you out. Back at the East Ikebukuro Hotel, we checked in during the early evening. The first thing we noticed was how small the room was. The second was that they gave us a double bed instead of twin singles. And third, the bedhead was right next to the window. We figured the room was just too small to position the bed differently and that our tour guide was just messing with us. Honestly, we were more annoyed that we had to share a double bed. We decided to let it go since it was just for one night. We went out for dinner and then headed to bed. That night, I was woken up by a door slamming. I jolted up and there, sitting at the foot of the bed, was a woman in a blue kimono. She had long hair and from what I could make out, the kimono had butterflies on it. I freaked out, dove under my pillow, and buried my head. Probably the most useless move I could have made. I remember thinking, is this real? How can I check without looking? In my brilliant moment of panic, I decided to shuffle my foot down the bed, thinking if I didn't touch anything, it was all in my head. I didn't even consider what I'd do if I did touch something. Little by little, my foot moved down the bed, and then I noticed there was definitely a depression there. Something or someone was sitting at the foot of the bed. I quickly pulled my foot back, started sweating, and began repeating the Lord's Prayer until I either passed out or fell back asleep. I woke up at 6 the next morning, and my friend was already dressed and packed. I asked him if he saw or heard anything the night before, and all he said was, "I don't want to talk about it. Let's check out." Story 7. I was working at a convenience store on the late shift. Just about nobody came in from around 10:45 until we closed at midnight. The way the store was set up, from behind the counter, I was about 6 feet from the door in front of me and to my left. Directly above it were two security monitors. It was a very small store. The monitors flipped through a few different camera angles, in the back just outside the front door, in the lot, in the shed, by the coolers, and then the cycle would repeat. I was working alone, just me and my phone. 11 o'clock came. And nobody showed up for a while, probably 20 minutes of silence. Some time passed, and I glanced at the security monitor. It was showing the angle of the lot, and it was positioned so you could see someone's back as they entered the front door. It was pretty dark outside, so the best way to see if a customer was coming was to watch the cameras. There was a slight delay, so I would see something on the monitor a second or two after it actually happened. When the angle from the lot came back on, I saw a man from behind enter the front door. Black guy, not too tall, wearing a letter jacket. He had a grocery bag in his right hand. I glanced down at the front door, just below the monitors, and no one was there. I thought it was a glitch, maybe an old tape replaying. I watched another cycle of the camera angles, which lasted about 45 seconds, just to see if it would happen again. Halfway through the cycle, the door swung open, and into the store stepped a young man. Black guy, not too tall, wearing a letter jacket. He was holding a grocery bag in his right hand. The most unsettling part? He didn't buy anything. He just looked around for a minute and left. Maybe my mind was playing tricks on me, but I was spooked out of my mind. I didn't work any more night shifts after that. Story 8. When I was about 10, I used to talk to someone all the time through the 6-inch tall slit window to our basement. He would always tell me not to go into the basement when I asked to see him, because he wouldn't be there anyway. I talked to him for about a year, maybe a year and a half. He told me not to tell my mom because he didn't want to scare her. A few years later, I was telling my mom about the guy in the basement. I had already stopped talking to him by then, and she told me she could believe me. When I was a baby, she would always see the door to my room slowly open, like someone was peeking in to check if I was okay, and then gently closing it again. She told me she figured it was the guy who owned the house before us, because that used to be his grandkids' room. It was one of those small towns where even our grandparents knew each other. Story 9. I've told this story a few times to friends. It never fails to give me goosebumps. During my sophomore year of high school, my girlfriend and I were headed to the school dance. We lived in a small Texas town. For context, my graduating class had only 120 students. She picked me up. I was 15 at the time and didn't drive yet. And we had dinner. The meal went faster than expected, so we had about an hour to kill. We were driving on some back roads near her house when she told me she had found the perfect makeout spot. At the time, my teenage brain didn't consider how dangerous or illegal it might be to trespass in the middle of nowhere. We pulled into what used to be a driveway. The road was gravel for about 40 feet, then turned to dirt. The dirt path was extremely overgrown, looking like it hadn't been used in years. There was a field to the left and dense woods to the right. Three large gravel piles sat between us and the woods. When she pulled in, she turned the car around so it faced the exit. A small decision, but it made all the difference. She shut off the car, and we hopped into the back seat and started hooking up. About an hour later, we were getting dressed when she said, "I really have to pee." By then, my hormones had calmed down, and I realized how sketchy this place really was. It was pitch black, the car was off, and all the doors were unlocked. Right now, we're in the middle of nowhere. She was stubborn, maybe part of the reason we're not together anymore. I saw her reach for the door handle. It was one of those moments I'll never forget. Her hand moved so slowly, like she was waiting for something to happen. Just as her fingertips touched the handle, we heard a distinct knocking sound from the back of the car. It was clearly knuckles tapping against the trunk. There were no trees nearby, nothing that could have made that sound naturally. It was a perfect rhythm of knuckles on metal, lasting about 10 seconds. My girlfriend and I sat completely still, holding on to each other, not even breathing. Then silence. I tried looking out the window, but it was so dark I could barely even see her face. "What was that?" she whispered. "I don't know. Start the car." My hands were shaking. "Babe, please start the car." "I can't move," she said. The second she stopped talking, the knocking started again. Same rhythm, same pressure. I'd had enough. In the next 3 seconds, I jumped into the front seat, started the car, locked the doors, turned on the headlights, and put on my seatbelt. I floored that Toyota Corolla like I was in a race. I hit about 50 miles per hour as I turned out of the driveway, kicking up gravel on whatever had been behind us. I drove for about 2 miles before pulling over at a nearby electric plant. My girlfriend got out to use the bathroom, and I sat in the front seat, my whole body still shaking. I got dressed, and we drove the rest of the way in silence. That was the first time I had ever driven a car outside of a parking lot. When we got to the dance, we just sat in the corner. Funny thing is, I don't even remember what we said to each other. I just knew I was never going back to that place, or so I thought. Near the end of the dance, one of my best friends came up to me, and I explained what had happened. "We've got to go back," she said. I couldn't believe my ears. After all that, she wanted to check it out? The next day around noon, she picked me up and we went back. If she didn't believe me the night before, she definitely did now. The area looked just like I remembered, but now I could truly see how secluded it was. No houses or buildings in sight. Where that driveway once led was now completely gone. I walked up to where the tire marks from the night before still showed, fresh in the gravel. That's when I saw them. Boot prints, right behind the back left tire. Two clear prints, side by side. They came from and returned to the overgrown brush. My friend saw how uncomfortable I was and agreed we should leave. A couple months later, my girlfriend and I broke up over unrelated issues. We go to different colleges now, but sometimes she visits old high school friends near my campus. I saw her last semester, and we caught up a bit, just chatting about life. During a lull in the conversation, I asked, Do you ever think about that time? She put her hand up, smile gone from her face. I don't think about it. Ever. And I don't want to. And that was the end of that. Story 10. My sister saw something on several occasions throughout our lives. I never actually saw anything, only heard something extremely vividly. Basically, one night everything was happening like usual. My mom was out with her friends watching some game, and my dad was watching a movie with my sister and me. It was a comedy, so we all went to bed laughing about it. I was lying in bed about half an hour after we were tucked in, reading a book. I heard somebody stomping down the hallway downstairs, and then full-on sprinting up the stairs. I figured it was just my sister coming back from getting a drink or something. But I would have seen her leave her room because our doors are right beside each other, and the staircase is just around the corner. So then I figured it was just my mom coming back home, and for some reason being extremely loud. The way my door is angled lets me see anybody who comes up the stairs, so I was watching and waiting, as they seemed to be in quite a hurry. The footsteps were getting higher and higher up the stairs, but as soon as they got to the top, they completely stopped. There was nothing. My eyes were still totally fixed on the hallway as I got up to check who it was. I turned the corner, and there was nobody. I immediately got covered head to toe with goosebumps and tried to piece together what could have happened. Not even 2 seconds later, I heard my sister screaming, and she came bolting out of her room with complete terror on her face. Without hesitating, we ran into our dad's room, where he was already standing up and asking what was wrong. My sister pointed back to her room, crying, and said, "There's a man!" My dad rushed into the hall, turned the light on, and then turned the light on in her room. He checked the closet and behind everything, but didn't find anything. Then he walked into my room and did the same, but still found nothing. We spent the next 15 or so minutes holding his hand as he searched the rest of the house, flicking every single light on. He called my mom to see if she had been home, but she said she was still with her friends. I could even hear the loud bar atmosphere through the phone speaker. We all slept in my dad's room that night. Over the course of the next 7 or so years, my sister ran out of her room crying about the same man in her room. She said he just stood there in the corner and watched her. She described him as a very tall man in a top hat and a trench coat. Like a detective, she said. Everything completely black. It was a couple of years after that when I stumbled upon what's known as the top hat demon or the phantom hat man. It turns out it's an actual phenomenon. Every description and drawing is exactly what she described that day. Story 11. A few years ago, my wife and I spent 3 months in Bermuda for work. Initially, we rented a large detached house whose owners were back in the States. There was one locked room on the top floor, presumably containing the owner's personal possessions. After a few nights, we both began to hear footsteps from upstairs. This was relatively easy to ignore, as we put it down to rodents, even though they sounded human. Long footsteps and heavy. We had checked the locked door, and there was never any sign of movement there. One night I was asleep when, in my dazed state, I imagined somebody right by my face shouting, "Wake up!" This came from my right side. My wife was sleeping to my left. Immediately after, I felt myself pulled down the bed. I awoke to find my legs hanging off the end of the bed and my right cheek moist, as if somebody had shouted at me from 6 inches away and their saliva had sprayed my face. I panicked, woke up my wife, and checked the room, but there was nobody there. I checked the rest of the house and all was quiet. I washed my face quite vigorously afterward. We left the house soon after that night and claimed the company flat as soon as it became available. Never had anything like that happen to me before or since. Story 12. I've experienced a few creepy things, but most are usually explainable. However, the clearest one I've had was a few years back. It wasn't even that creepy for me, as I kind of enjoy the idea of ghosts and such. I was just getting out of the shower in the evening. Must have been winter, as it was dark. I live in a London suburb, so all the houses are extremely close and relatively narrow, but the walls are quite thick, and I barely hear my neighbors. My house is also fairly old. My parents were downstairs with the front room door shut. Basically, the upstairs was dead quiet. Usually, my mom puts the radio on in their bedroom, but not this time. Anyway, I was scrubbing my hair with a towel, and I was about to put it away in my parents' room. I opened the door, walked into the pitch-black room, and suddenly heard a somewhat posh woman's voice say, "Hello." It was as if I had startled her. I stopped, staring into the dark, and replied, "Hello?" "Two." "Nothing." The woman sounded nothing like my mom or any of my female neighbors. The radio was off, and the double-glazed, quiet-as-can-be windows were completely shut. I stood there for 5 minutes waiting for any other sound but heard absolutely nothing else. Her voice was extremely clear and directional, too. I could tell it came from the back left of the room, by a wardrobe. I was staring right there as I walked in. I thought it was quite a nice experience, if it was actually a ghost, because she wasn't threatening at all. My mom reckoned she was one of the people from a large family who had lived there a century ago, and somehow me opening the door went back in time and scared her, like I was her ghost. I feel bad if that's the case. Story 13. I was working at a bakery on third shift, 8 p.m. to 4 a.m., at the local orchard. The store closed at 8, but it wasn't unheard of for the owners to come in after closing. I had been working there for about a week at that point. I was out stocking the shelves, so it was close to the end of our shift, probably around 3 a.m. I turned to take something off of the rack, and there was a man standing by the cold case. He looked to be in his late 40s or early 50s, bald, thin to average build, wearing a red flannel shirt tucked into jeans. He said, "Hello, how are you?" I replied, "Hi." "I'm doing well. How are you?" He said, "I'm fine, thank you." I put the bread on the shelf and turned to ask who he was or introduce myself, and he was gone. I had only turned for a few seconds, so there was no way he could have left my line of sight without me seeing some part of him leaving. I never heard any doors open or close to indicate that he left or went elsewhere in the store. I told my mom when I got home because I was like, what if someone broke in? Do I want to work at a place where people can just walk in unnoticed? She asked me about it, and I told her it was weird because he was just standing there looking at a covered-up cold case, so he couldn't see what was actually in it. He didn't seem like he was trying to steal anything. She told me it was probably just the owner. I met the owner a few days later. He was not the man I saw there that night. It wasn't anyone who worked there. I had heard from co-workers that the owner was still running the place because his son, who was supposed to take over the business, had died of cancer. That night after work, I went home and looked up the son's obituary online, and I swear it was the guy I saw in the store. Story 14. When I was about 15 years old on a school night, I woke up in the middle of the night. I remember looking at the clock. It was about 1:30 a.m. I went to the kitchen to make some hot tea to take back to bed with me. Our kitchen was attached to the dining room, which was a step down from the kitchen. Both the kitchen and dining room had large sliding glass doors and big windows facing the backyard, all on the same wall. The cabinets and counter where we kept the tea were opposite that wall of windows, forming a little corner. I remember walking into the kitchen with the lights off, heading to the tea corner, and then standing there looking toward the windows and sliding doors. I felt like someone was watching me through them. I got that gut feeling, you know the one. I stood there for about a minute, very still, like maybe they wouldn't see me if I didn't move. Then I went back to my room without making the tea. When I got back to my room, the clock read 5 a.m. I had been standing in the kitchen for 3.5 hours, and I had no idea how that was possible because it only felt like maybe a minute. To this day, it's still the weirdest thing that has ever happened to me. My mom never believed me when I told her because she never felt anything bad in our house. I hadn't either until that night. But that night, I absolutely did. Story 15. About 4 years ago, I was at work late dealing with some closing issues. It took longer than usual, so I ended up being the last to leave. It was pretty late, around 8 p.m. My workplace isn't in the middle of nowhere, and it's not in a bad part of town. It's in a nice, normal area, but it's usually deserted after 7 p.m. When I got outside, I hopped in my car and prepared to pull out onto the street. As I stopped and looked both ways, I suddenly noticed two figures standing to my left on the sidewalk. The thing is, they were both dressed in pale, full-body suits from head to toe and were rapidly approaching my car, headed straight for the driver's door, with little room for misinterpretation. I slammed the gas pedal and turned down the street fast. In the rearview mirror, I saw them both moving toward me on foot, which alarmed me even more since I live in the nearby neighborhood, barely a 5-minute walk away. I didn't think about anything except getting home and locking the door. Nobody else was on the street near the parking lot or anywhere nearby. My town isn't known for dangerous types or weird situations, but that truly scared me. Two strangers in full-body suits? It wasn't Halloween, and they looked incredibly suspicious. But nobody else saw them. Story 16. I was about 4 years old, visiting my great-grandmother in New Jersey. She made a bed for me to sleep on in the living room. I fell asleep easily, but at some point I woke up and saw my great-grandfather. He sat on the edge of my bed, smiled, patted my leg, and got up. He put his jacket on and walked out the front door. He had been gone for longer than I had been alive, and I had never met him. The adults the next morning all laughed at the silly kid with a big imagination. At Grandma's request, I described exactly what he was wearing. Flannel shirt, suspenders, khaki pants. A generic description of any grandpa for the last 100 years. Everyone was still giggling at my cute story. But when I got up to show her how he snatched his jacket from the hook by the door and slung it on in one motion, I turned around smiling, only to see her completely pale-faced with tears running down her cheeks. Everyone got really quiet and we never talked about it again. She knew I had seen him. No one else's opinion matters. Story 17. One time our family dog ran away. He was super shy and scared very easily. We had adopted him from an animal testing lab, so we gathered all the friends and family we could, and shortly after he took off, there were multiple search parties, altogether about 24 people, looking for him. After a whole day of searching, without any sign of the dog, the sun was slowly setting. I was standing at the edge of the forest, where I had searched and called for hours, when I suddenly saw a deer just 15 meters away, staring directly into my eyes. We stood there for at least a minute, no movement, no sound. Then I asked in a soothing voice, "Did you happen to come across a lost beagle?" I swear to this day, the deer nodded and looked down at the ground where it was standing. Then it jumped away into the woods. I told myself I must have imagined the nod and that the dog couldn't possibly be sitting next to a deer without making a sound. But I couldn't not check. And yes, there he was, sitting in that exact spot, scared to death and shaking with fear. I gasped, cuddled the dog, took him in my arms, and looked into the woods where the deer had disappeared. There it was again, staring at me, directly in the eyes. I had tears of joy and was unbelievably grateful, while at the same time completely confused. Since that day, I have never eaten deer again. Story 18. I'm returning from an extended Reddit break to share this. In college, I was hanging out in a friend's room when he said he and his roommate needed to move their cars to different lots, a 45-minute process. I decided to stay and watch some TV. A few minutes after they left, I saw a DVD in a clear case labeled Mausoleum. I remember watching the creepiest movie I've seen to date. British, disturbing scenes, werewolves, mental asylums, a soundtrack like a haunted calliope, shifts in perspective and time periods, present then back in the 1700s, shot entirely in black and white, grotesque sacrifice scenes, horrific deaths, actors speaking directly to the camera with long monologues, and a scene of a serial killer explaining who his next victims would be and why, which really shook me. There were also repeated color cutaways to flowers blooming and wilting atop headstones. I shut the movie off before it was finished, got up and realized it was daylight. Both my friend and his roommate had returned. I woke them up and they asked how I got inside, said I hadn't been there when they came back and didn't answer my phone. I went to take the DVD out of the player and it was empty. They claimed they had never heard of or seen it. I've spent years trying to make sense of this, have had nightmares and occasional flashbacks. I've brought it up in therapy, but nothing has helped. Has anyone else seen or heard of this, I presume, indie movie, or experienced anything similar? Story 19. I was once waiting for the metro in Shanghai and saw a woman in tears frantically run past. She stopped dead in her tracks and seemed to be searching for a train on either platform, but there was none coming. She was yelling something, but I didn't speak the language, so I didn't understand. She then ran into the nearby bathroom. About 30 seconds later, two men in ordinary clothes came rushing down the escalator. They were shouting too, but again I couldn't understand. They began walking up and down the platform yelling, and then went into the bathroom where the woman had gone. A few seconds later they emerged, dragging her out. She was screaming, crying, and fighting with everything she had to get away from them. The men just kept shouting back, shaking her violently and striking the back of her head while they carried her up the stairs. Everyone on the platform just stared, mouths open, but no one did anything. And then mere seconds later, the entire scene was over, and people were back to staring at their phones like nothing had happened. Story 20. I was in a car with my mother taking a not quite back road because of heavy traffic for some reason or another. There wasn't anybody else on the road, and it was just a little after sunset, so the sky was still relatively light in the area. We went around a bend, and there was this massive bloody bird perched on the road over the back half of a small deer. The front half was literally just gone. It took off toward us, and my mom slammed on the brakes. I swear it was the size of a mastiff. Not just the wingspan, which looked like it took up the entire road, but the bird itself looked massive. Apparently it was a cinereus vulture, or a black vulture, which can be found here in New York, but they don't get that large. They're also technically not native to New York, and have been slowly moving north from farther south. And that thing was absolutely massive. We were both in shock. We don't know where it came from or where it went, but after that, we rushed back home in 20 minutes. I've seen coyotes, mountain lions, and even alligators, but nothing has freaked me out more than that vulture. And when I said bloody, I meant like dripping blood.
Hey, baseball fans, go yard with BetMGM, the sportsbook born in Vegas. Enjoy top odds on your favorite home run bets, fast and convenient ways to play same-game parlays, special boosts and tokens, and so much more. From the first pitch to the game-winning fireworks, there are more ways than ever to supercharge your excitement. Download the BetMGM app and get your piece of MLB action. BetMGM is an official partner of Major League Baseball. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER available in the U.S. For New York, 8778. HOPE-NY. Or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. First bet offers for new customers only. All other promotions for existing customers. Subject to eligibility requirements. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic. Your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Like a leaky faucet over the first half of its body. Nobody else believes us, and no one else has spotted it. We're definitely bringing a dash cam next time we drive near that road. Story 21. So this happened to a coworker of mine, but I was there for the aftermath and am the only one who believed him. We were opening a hotel, and there was always something strange going on. Things moving, weird noises, the usual. This particular coworker was always spooked by it and honestly thought the place was haunted. One day he was going room to room hooking up the TVs, and while lying under a desk struggling to connect one, the door to the room slammed shut. He had propped it open with a doorstop that he swore was tightly secured. Naturally, he got freaked out but decided to finish the room before taking a break. He had just reached behind the TV when suddenly, "Help me, Rhonda," started blasting from his iPhone. He hadn't been playing music or anything. It just started. Panicked, he ran down to the lobby to tell the rest of us what had happened, but everyone just chalked it up to him being paranoid. Story 22. I was visiting my dad, who's a nurse at a pretty busy hospital. I was sitting in one of the hallways when it suddenly became deathly silent, which felt odd. Out of nowhere, a nurse pushing a cart came around the corner and started walking in my direction. As he got closer, I saw he was pushing a body that was completely covered by a white sheet. Being curious, I watched as he walked by. The nurse noticed me watching and quickened his pace. When he reached the end of the hallway, he opened the elevator. As he got in, I swear I heard the body beneath the sheet let out a loud gasp and begin to stir. Before I could react, the elevator doors started to close. The last thing I saw was the nurse looking at me, smiling. The weirdest part was when I asked my dad about it, He gave me a puzzled look and said that wasn't possible. Bodies are never transferred out in the open, and they have a private elevator for that purpose. I still think about it to this day, wondering what I possibly witnessed. Story 23. My wife and I were driving through northern Arizona on Highway 89 between Flagstaff and Page. It was about 1 a.m. as we were working third shift at the time and often traveled at night to avoid traffic. I saw a few sets of eyes glowing in my headlights up the road, so I let off the gas to avoid hitting anything. As we drove by, we saw several dogs, maybe coyotes, on the side of the road, and I hit the gas again. After we passed them, my wife said one of them was running next to the car. I looked over and saw it too, probably 20 feet off the shoulder. I floored it, and that's when I saw it stand up on its hind legs. That's the only way I can describe it, and keep pace with the car for a few seconds before turning away and disappearing into the desert. The whole thing probably lasted no more than 10 seconds, but it was the most terrifying 10 seconds of my life. This happened about 20 years ago, and we still rarely talk about it. Story 24. I was playing on my computer, which is upstairs in my house. My wife had gone out for the night with her sisters. My dog started going crazy, which made me think my wife had pulled up in the driveway. I waited to hear her get to the front door and come inside, but my dogs kept barking for a couple of minutes. I got a little worried, so I decided to see what the fuss was about. My dogs were at the top of the stairs barking down toward the front door. As I turned the corner to go downstairs, I spotted a figure looking up the stairs in the darkness. I yelled, "What the heck?" and ran to get my phone from my office. As I grabbed it, my dogs went absolutely wild. They were trying to back up on the wood floor and were slipping like they were spinning their wheels. I looked at them, and their heads were following something moving up the stairs, over the railing, and into the guest bedroom. They repositioned and stared into that room. My dogs are absolute sweethearts. My boy Walter had his fangs out in a way I'd never seen before. Like a wolf, my girl Ellie, who's around 9 months old, was barking as loud as she could, while also urinating on the floor from fear. I just stood there in shock at their reactions, when suddenly there was a noise, very similar to the loud buffering sound you hear when only one or two car windows are rolled down. It lasted for maybe 15 seconds. Once it stopped, my dogs also stopped barking and ran into the guest room, searching for something. We've had strange things happen in our house, but this was the worst. What made the night even more awful was being mocked by my wife and her sisters when I asked her to come home. She believes me now, but at the time, it was horrible. Story 25. I posted this with my old account but lost my password. One time I was working at a used car dealership. On the side lot, there was a huge sliding door that led to the service bays. One night I got off really late. I had dropped off some cars at an auction, picked up another, and had to drop it off before heading home. It was almost 10 p.m. and completely dark and quiet on the street. I looked toward the side gate and saw lights and shadows moving under the sliding door and above it. It looked like people were dancing and moving around. I started walking toward it and could hear voices like a party was going on back there. It was weird because the building's layout wouldn't allow lights or shadows from nearby buildings to show up in that spot. I got closer to take a look. There was a small cutout in the gate, about 4 inches by 5 inches, used to reach in and unlock it. I looked in, and it was pitch black and totally silent, just how it should be. I took a few steps back away from the hole, and again I saw the lights, the shadows, and heard the voices. I stepped back up to the hole, again pitch black and silent. I went to my car, started driving away, and saw the same lights and shadows one more time. I told my boss to check the cameras. He said he didn't see anything unusual, but he did see my shadow under the door when I walked by to check. Story 26. I lived in an old house in a small town growing up, and there were quite a few strange things that happened while my family was there. The first thing I remember being creepy about that place was waking up in the middle of the night when I was 6 years old, having to pee really badly. I climbed down from the top bunk and turned to see an old man in a rocking chair sitting by the door. I tried to wake up my sister in the bottom bunk, but she wouldn't wake up and felt almost like dead weight. I worked up the courage to run by the man and out the door, and I fell asleep in the bathroom with the light on. I got in trouble with my mom in the morning. My dad also told us he thought something was wrong with the place because he kept hearing kids playing and laughing when he would get ready for work in the early morning. He would wake up around 4 a.m. and leave by 5:30. One morning, he heard laughing near the hallway by the kitchen. He went to check if it was one of us. And as he turned the corner, he saw someone running around the far corner into the living room. He followed, thinking it was a kid, and ended up circling back to the kitchen. When he checked our rooms, we were all sound asleep. My mom also said she would sometimes catch a glimpse of someone staring at her from the corner of her eye when she was alone. Knowing all this, when we were older, we used to try to scare our friends who came over. One day, my friend brought her Furby. This was the late 90s, and we were playing with it in the bedroom. It started acting weird, like the batteries were dying. It shut off with its eyes closed and wouldn't respond anymore. I told my friend we had batteries downstairs we could grab. As we were leaving the room, Furby in hand, it suddenly popped its eyes open and said, "Heh heh, I tricked you." We both screamed and dropped it. Story 27. I drove for about 2 hours through rural Arizona with my fiancé late one night. I passed a car stopped on the side of the road. It had its hazard lights on and the hood was up. There was a dim light hanging from the hood, like someone had been checking the engine. About a quarter mile down the road, my headlights illuminated a man standing on the shoulder. He was tall, over 6 feet, and very thin. He was ghostly pale and bald. What unsettled me most was that he was just standing there in the pitch black, staring into the desert away from the road. There was no light except from the occasional passing cars. He was just staring into the darkness. Nothing supernatural, I'm sure, but it sent chills down my spine. My fiancé was asleep almost the entire drive, so she didn't see any of it, and she doesn't really believe it happened. Story 28. When I was in El Salvador, we went to visit my grandpa up in the mountains. There were a lot of rumors that a dried-up stream next to his house was haunted and that you could hear cries of the dead and even see the devil walk through there at night. I didn't think much of it. That day, we had left the city really late, and since there weren't many roads to drive on, we had to walk to get there. We finally arrived around 2 a.m. My grandpa was about to open the door to the house, and we turned off our lamps. As my eyes adjusted to the darkness, I could see the dried-up stream, the rocks, and the mountains under the moonlight. As I looked around, I suddenly noticed a figure by a tree. I thought it was probably just a drunk man, but then it did something. It stood up, tall, and was darker than the night itself. It started moving in this strange left-to-right motion. I couldn't believe it, so I tapped my cousin and said, "Hey, do you see that by the tree?" He looked and said, "Whoa," and then flashed his light. There was nothing there. That night, I felt incredibly uneasy. I eventually fell asleep, but around 5 a.m., a bunch of crows started making noise, and I heard what sounded like hooves hitting rocks in the stream bed. I started crying. I was really young. The houses there are made of clay and tree trunks, so sometimes you can see through the walls, and that night traumatized me. My grandpa was acting strange too, trying to reassure me nothing was wrong, but it was suspicious. He slept with a rifle next to him that night. Story 29. Years ago, a friend and I were taking a road trip to Santa Cruz and had entered the address for the boardwalk into my Garmin. We were both unfamiliar with the area and were relying entirely on the device for directions. I was driving, and the longer I drove, the weirder it felt. The Garmin was directing us into a forest. At one point, I had my friend double-check the address we'd entered. It was correct. But the Garmin kept guiding us deeper into the woods. I'm naturally bad with directions, so I figured maybe we'd end up hitting the coast eventually. We drove for about 30 minutes when the Garmin directed us down a winding, one-lane road heading into a valley. The trees were so dense we couldn't even see the valley floor, and the road had endless switchbacks. By then, I was certain something was wrong, but there wasn't anywhere to turn around safely. After what felt like forever, we finally reached the valley floor, and it was incredibly eerie. There was an abandoned mining site with rusted equipment and trash blowing across the ground. My friend and I looked at each other, confused, as the Garmin announced we'd reached our destination. The place gave off an awful vibe. I didn't want to stay there for even a second, and neither did my friend. As I turned the car around, we saw a man come out of one of the buildings. He looked like something out of a horror film and was holding what looked like a pipe. He stood there just staring at our car. I hit the gas, and we didn't stop until we were out of that forest. We eventually made it to the boardwalk and met up with some local friends, but none of them had any idea what road we were talking about. They thought we were exaggerating about how creepy it was. Story 30. I work in a train yard at night, shuttling crews to and from trains. This yard isn't well lit in some areas, leaving large stretches in total darkness. Keep in mind, this is a small depot out in the middle of nowhere. Anyway, I was sitting next to a locomotive, waiting for the crew to hop off so I could take them back to the office. The area I was in was right at the edge of the light, so about 25 to 30 feet ahead of me was complete darkness, except for what my headlights illuminated. To my left were four sets of tracks with a grassy field beyond that. To my right, a steep embankment led down to a creek. The gravel road I was on led off into the dark. As I sat there, I saw a fox run in from the tracks, across the road and down the slope. I leaned over the seat to see where it went, since it had been at a full sprint like it was chasing something. I sat back up, and there was someone standing in the dark, just beyond the edge of my headlights. It was one of those spots that was somehow darker than the rest of the night, and this figure was huge, like Andre the Giant huge. I couldn't make out any features in the dark, but it felt like it was getting closer without becoming any clearer. I turned my high beams on, and nothing changed. Still, just a huge dark figure moving closer. Starting to get scared, I grabbed the radio and called the crew. In the few seconds it took for them to reply, I swear that thing grinned. I didn't even know something could have a mouth that big. It looked like a shark's mouth on a person. It was the only part of it that had any real shape, and it almost seemed to glow in the dark. A second later, the crew responded, asking what was wrong. I told them I thought I saw someone walking toward us. They hit the lights on the engine, lighting up everything in front of us. Nothing. Nobody was there, just empty tracks and road. They shut everything down, climbed off the train, and I drove them back to the office. I told them I was certain I saw something in front of us. When we got back, they asked one of the clerks to check the security cameras in that area. We watched the footage. It showed the fox running across the tracks. Then it showed me sitting there, turning on my high beams. A few seconds later, the engine lights came on. That was it. No figure. Nothing. I apologized for bothering them. They said it was fine. They'd rather I report something if I saw anything suspicious. That was about 7 or 8 months ago, and I'm still cautious every time I drive down that stretch. I haven't seen anything since, but I'll never forget that huge grin. Story 31. I have an uncle who used to go on weekend hunting trips by himself. I don't know how far into the wilderness he went. He only hunted squirrels, but he'd always spend 3 to 4 days out in the woods alone. About 4 years ago, he came back early from one of those trips and stopped going alone entirely. He said he saw a little boy running around and playing in the woods. Now he only goes in larger groups, 5 or 6 people, always with a buddy and never for as long. The places he went to were off-road mountain spots, pretty far from campsites or anything like that. I don't know. I believe he saw something, just not sure what. Here's what he told us happened. He was walking around trying to find a good spot to sit and wait. When he heard what sounded like a little boy laughing, he paused and looked around, scanning the trees. Then in the distance, he saw a boy run across a clearing in the forest. He swears it was a boy because he was wearing a blue jacket. It only lasted a few seconds, but it looked like the kid was playing hide-and-seek or something. He immediately got a bad feeling. He kept staring at the spot, but the boy was gone. He turned around and started walking back. My uncle was sure it wasn't a camper or another hunter with a kid. In all his years of hunting that spot, he's never run into anyone else. That's the part that really stuck with him. He's been hunting his whole life and isn't the kind of guy who gets rattled by random noises in the woods. But whatever he saw that day changed how he goes out there. It was a big deal for him. Story 32. 3 years ago, I was staying at an old but quite luxurious hotel in S. I had a room with a very high ceiling. In the middle of the night, the room was pitch black, and I was wide awake because there was a baby crying very loudly. It sounded like it was coming from the room above mine. I rolled around in bed, annoyed for a bit, until I realized that I was staying in a room on the top floor. I started to freak out a little, and the crying kept getting louder and louder. It sounded much clearer now, as if the baby was in the same room with me, but the sound still seemed to be coming from the direction of the ceiling. I was lying in bed in full-blown panic, too afraid to get up. Then the crying stopped abruptly. It was completely silent for a moment. Then I felt a baby-sized hand grab my wrist. I nearly flung myself out of bed in horror and turned on the light. There was nothing there. This might be the scariest experience of my life, and I'm still incredibly glad I only had to stay in that hotel for one night. Story 33. My cousins and I decided to look inside this seemingly abandoned house that was a bit off the road. We went in, and there was still power to the house. The refrigerator was open, and in the middle of the kitchen table was a jewelry box that was open. Everything inside was neatly arranged. The living room had 4-foot stacks of magazines lining every wall. One bedroom had only a twin bed, which was made up but completely covered in ribbons, the kind you get for winning horse competitions. They were lined up perfectly in order. The next bedroom was bare except for taxidermy animals on the walls. While in this room, we heard a thud in the attic and decided to get out of there immediately. While running down the street, I looked back. Near the house was a shed made of cinder blocks with no roof. In the doorway, where there was no door, stood a shadowy figure, just a black silhouette of a tall man. It was around noon, so no shadows, no roof, no door. But it moved. When we got back, we realized one girl had taken a pearl necklace. Now, I'm not very superstitious, but I knew this was a rookie mistake. We made her take it back. I watched from the end of the house's driveway. There was a deep freezer next to the back door. None of us thought to open it. And she placed the necklace on it and turned to leave. That's when something shoved her at least 3 feet backward, landing her on the ground. She didn't trip. She was obviously pushed by something unseen. Being the good cousin and friend that I am, I kindly began to run faster than I ever had in my life. She said something had pushed her down. I haven't stepped foot in any abandoned house since. Story 34. I was driving with my girlfriend through Wisconsin on the way back home. It was really late, like 2 or 3 in the morning, and I stopped at a gas station to fill up. My GPS ended up putting me on a small highway instead of the expressway right after we left, but I didn't want to complicate things, so I just followed it. My girlfriend was sleeping, so I had the radio off and was driving in silence on this dark, creepy highway. There were deer crossing signs, so I was being extra cautious since a family friend had recently hit a deer with her truck. It had caused a lot of damage and even broke her arm. I noticed a sharp curve coming up, so I slowed down to take it carefully. As I was turning, I saw a figure emerge from the darkness of the woods. It was a large mountain lion with blood all over the front of its face. It scared me badly. I pulled up just past the turn and tried to wake my girlfriend. In the rearview mirror, I saw its large shadow move across the road. But by the time she woke up, it was gone. She had lived in Wisconsin most of her life and immediately dismissed it, saying mountain lions aren't common there. I told her I knew what I saw, but she insisted I must have imagined it. I played along and said maybe she was right, but deep down, I know exactly what I saw. Story 35. I was deer hunting with a friend on some property my uncle owns in a pretty remote area. It's right off a main road, with only a couple of trailer homes along the side. And to get to the tree stand, it's a good 20-minute walk up and down hills through thick forest. Let me try to paint a bit of a picture to make this easier to explain. At the base of the last hill is our 2-person tree stand. Then there's about 100 feet of land leading to the lake. But this part is pretty narrow, about 60 feet, forming a peninsula that juts out to our left, with the rest of the lake behind it. So, about 45 minutes before sunrise, we start to hear knocking sounds from the tip of the peninsula. It sounds like male deer fighting with their antlers. We're getting excited, thinking, great, at least 2 bucks out there. Then we hear the same knocking from the other end of the peninsula. Now we're thinking, no way, we've got 4 bucks here. The knocking goes on for a few minutes, getting closer, but then we realize it's way too precise to be deer. I notice that when the one on the right knocks once, the one on the left knocks once. When one knocks twice, the other does the same. They're mimicking each other exactly. This couldn't have been an echo. They were too far apart, and the sounds weren't simultaneous. It was a back-and-forth rhythm, and the volume was the same from both ends. Over the next few minutes, the knocking gets closer and closer together. Then for about 10 minutes, nothing. Suddenly, we hear what sounds like an animal dying on the peninsula, like a hurt dog yelping. Then a loud thud, and all goes quiet. We look at each other, unsure of what to say. I stand up and shout, "Who's out there?" Then I hear the most blood-curdling, awful noise I have ever heard. I'm shaking just thinking about it. It started as a low, deep growl and turned into a high, raspy howl. My blood instantly went cold. My friend and I look at each other, both saying, "What was that?" at the same time. I yell again, something like, "You better leave." Whatever it was howled again and took off into the woods, and I swear I could feel its footsteps. Whatever it was bipedal. I've taken plenty of tracking and hunting classes, grew up in the woods. I know what a running deer sounds like. This had two legs. Then it crashed through the cattails at the lake's edge and through the winter bare trees. We saw how fast it moved through at least a foot of mud and brush. We didn't say a word. We got down one at a time with the other aiming their gun toward the sound, and we walked out of there backwards. We called everyone we knew, but being college-age kids, no one was up. No one believed us. I wanted to go back that afternoon to check for tracks in the mud. My friend refused to go, so I went alone. When I got to the cattails, something had already been there. A large branch had been dragged through the area, wiping out all the footprints, and it was lying next to the trail. I've only been back maybe twice since then. It's been about 5 years, and every time, I'm armed and never alone. Story 36. I'm a restaurant manager, and one night I was closing up and went into the dining room to check if the server was almost done sweeping the floors. I walked down the hallway, and as I entered the dining room, the server was standing there, frozen. I looked at him and followed his gaze toward the door that leads out to the parking lot. This door has blinds, and the cord you use to raise and lower them was sticking straight out horizontally. I froze, trying to wrap my head around how that cord could be pulled out like that. I said, "What the heck?" And the server snapped out of it, looking back at me with wide eyes. We made eye contact with this unspoken look like, "Are you seeing what I'm seeing?" We both looked back at the door. The blind cord wiggled slightly, then dropped and slapped against the glass. We sprinted back into the kitchen, yelling and trying to explain what happened. The cooks were confused and laughed at us, but we brought them out to look, and the cord was just hanging there, perfectly normal. That server and I have told this story a million times, but no one believes us. I swear, there is zero natural explanation for what we saw that night. Story 37. I'll preface this by saying I don't believe in supernatural things. I only deal in logic, reason, and evidence. But this one truly freaked me out. There's a trailer situated right on the edge of my property line that gets rented out semi-regularly. One winter, the tenants moved out and left a light on in the back bedroom, which shined blue through the blinds. I always go outside at night to let my dog out, so I saw this blue light every night for 3 days. The landlords came by, inspected, and cleaned out the place, so I expected the light to be off that night, but it was still on. Months passed, and the light remained on every single night without fail. While standing in my backyard with my dog, it became the only thing to look at from that vantage point. I started walking to the edge of my property, about 10 feet from the trailer, and stared at it, trying to figure out if it was a blue lamp, a nightlight, or something else. I couldn't tell from that distance. Nearly 6 months went by, and I couldn't take it anymore. I had seen it for over 100 nights. My curiosity finally outweighed my hesitation about being seen peeking into a trailer in the middle of the night. From a distance, the blinds looked messed up, and sure enough, there was a big crease I could see through. The blue light came from a TV left on the AV1 input screen, which is solid blue. I could see inside the room now. There was plastic all over the floor and a creepy broken doll just lying there. For some reason, it gave me a deeply unsettling feeling. I called my friend to come over, but they were busy. I didn't tell them why. I couldn't explain it. I went to bed and put on some Futurama to shake the feeling, and eventually I fell asleep. Around 4 a.m., I woke up to a solid blue light shining in my eyes. I just lay there trying to figure out why such a bright blue light was suddenly in the room. I wasn't even fully awake yet to feel scared. Then I focused and realized my own TV was on AV1, showing that same solid blue screen. My remote was next to me when I fell asleep, and sure, it's possible I hit the button by accident, but it had never happened before and hasn't happened since. Needless to say, I did not go back to sleep. The next night, I was literally afraid to go outside after dark, but I finally worked up the courage. Max needed to go out. And unbelievably, the blue light was gone. After nearly 6 months of seeing that light every single night, the night I looked inside was the last night it ever turned on. And it just so happened to be the same night my own room was glowing blue. Story 38. This will probably get lost in the comments, but something strange happened to me a few months ago. I got home from work, and one of my tires was leaking air. It was 2 a.m., but I didn't want to wake up to a flat tire since I had work the next evening, so I went outside to patch the leak with some hair gel. As I was working on the tire, it started raining. And as the rain began, I heard a woman crying off to the left of me. It wasn't a hysterical cry. but more like a soft, sad weeping. I got chills and told myself, "Okay, just keep your head down." I looked around and didn't see anyone, so I figured it must be the neighbors watching TV. But the crying kept getting louder and closer. I stayed focused on the tire until I heard the voice clearly say, "Can you help me?" I looked to the side and saw a woman in a black or gray dress with a baggy black coat walking toward me. Being raised in a Hispanic household, I've heard plenty of stories, and the idea of encountering a crying woman on the street past midnight absolutely terrified me. I thought about running into the house, but figured if it was something supernatural, running wouldn't help anyway. So I tried to stay calm. She asked me to call someone for her. I tried two different numbers, but both failed to go through. She thanked me, turned, and walked off into a pitch-black alley across the street. Then the rain stopped. That night, I showered with the curtain open. Story 39. So, I was in the Army as an 18-year-old Finnish guy a few years back. I was about three-quarters through my six-month service when this happened. It's kind of a long story about where and why we were at that place, but it doesn't really matter. We had yet another week in the forest with all our equipment, weapons, and gear to train. This particular camp was located in a pretty eerie area, with some homes still lived in and others completely abandoned, which meant we could use the outhouses of the empty places. That's exactly where I had to go after the mission was done, while everyone else was eating and complaining like usual. I asked my lieutenant for permission, and after giving me directions, I headed out. I passed a very creepy abandoned house in the snow at around 1 a.m. It was pitch black, except for my unreliable flashlight, since my main one had been damaged during the mission. Classic horror movie setup. I followed the directions, passed the house down the road about 50 meters, and then I was supposed to take a left once I saw the outhouse. Well, I walked for a good 150 meters and never saw an outhouse to my left. I kept walking, hoping I had just missed it, when I suddenly heard footsteps far ahead of me. That's when I decided I had enough and turned back. At this point, my flashlight was nearly dead, so I picked up the pace. To my surprise, I found the creepy little two-room outhouse shack before reaching the abandoned house or the main road. I took off my vest, rifle, helmet, and other gear so I could do my business in peace. But before I had the chance to sit down, I thought I saw someone sprinting past the shack. Loud footsteps in the snow, just flying across the road I had just walked on. It freaked me out even more. Finally, when I sat down on the plastic seat cover, it was warm. Nobody believed me. Nobody had left camp or come back while I was gone. And just like that, I was officially considered the crazy one in the group.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip. When it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Arr, fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
6 months from now, you could be running a 5K, booking that dream trip, or seeing thicker, fuller hair every time you look in the mirror. Through Hers, you can get dermatologist-trusted, clinically proven prescriptions with ingredients that go beyond what over-the-counter products offer. Whether you prefer oral or topical treatments, Hers has you covered. Getting started is simple. Just fill out an intake form online, and a licensed provider will recommend a customized plan just for you. The best part? Everything is 100% online. If prescribed, your treatment ships right to your door. No pharmacy trips, no waiting rooms, and no insurance headaches. Plus, treatments start at just $35 a month. Start your initial free online visit today at forhers.com/talk. That's forhers.com/talk. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Price varies both on product and subscription plan. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.